Romans 12:3 is dealing with service to God and not becoming big-headed over spiritual gifts. Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." May God add a blessing to those who love him and abide by his will.
Bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. We will be home of the soul, blessed kingdom of light. We will be free from all care, and where falleth no night, oft in the storm we are sighing for thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea.
John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not know, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Amen. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like you to open your Bibles to Hebrews, the sixth chapter. That's where we're going to be visiting today, Hebrews chapter 6. And whether you're visiting with us today or a member of this Franklin family, I am grateful that you are here with us today. Grateful. I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship and praise and for fellowship among the saints of God. I'm happy about that as well.
Yes,
Becoming me. I just want to start off this morning by saying everyone will eventually have to swim upstream. It's a difficult task, but it's been done before, and I know that you can do it too. Each and every one of us, we all are filled with great expectations. And our hearts are bursting at the seams with hopes of convincing people of just who we are. Our hearts are bursting at the seams with hopes of convincing people where we want to be. And eventually convincing people of who we will be. And that all boils down to becoming me and to becoming the best me that I can possibly be. You know what an important concept of life that we have weaved into our vocabulary, that of expectations. It's weaved into our vocabulary so much so that we say things like, "What do you expect of me? I expect you to be there." Or, "She's expecting a baby." Or, "We expect a winner." Sometimes we often say that I know that you know I expect great things from you. Well, I also think that God expects great things from us as well. And from all of us, not just me or anybody. He expects great things from all of us. And I think when we settle for mediocrity in any aspect of our service to God, be it individually or congregationally, we are disappointing God in some way. Mediocrity disappoints God. It even disappoints ourselves. We just don't want to admit it. But there's too many substandard Christians in this world filled with mediocrity. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6 this morning, beginning in verse number 9, reading on through verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know what I want you to see in this statement is in verse number 9, and it says, beloved. Beloved is it's a term of endearment and literally means dear ones. Dear ones, we are persuaded of better things concerning you. Better things concerning me. I want you to know this morning that the Hebrew writer is speaking directly to me, and he's speaking directly to you. Because we are a people who tend to let our guard down spiritually. You do, and I do as well. He's speaking to us because we let our guard down too much spiritually. And he's saying that we just can't do that. Can't do it. I mean, it's a challenge to most not to develop a hand-me-down type of faith as it is. But to remember the meaning behind what we are doing as Christians, there is a meaning behind everything that we do for God as Christians. But often and most times, those things tend to get old, don't they? And even though they get old, the meaning should never get old. My diplomas and achievements, they all old. They're old. I haven't thrown them away. They're packed away somewhere. I may not even be able to find them. Why? Why have I not thrown them away? Because they still have meaning to me. Your wedding ring. It may be old or it could very well be new. And mine doesn't look as good as it looked 34 years ago. It's not as shiny. But it has meaning. It has meaning to me. I will not let that go. My baptism. Some 37 years ago. I'm not wet any longer. Not at all. But I remember my baptism, and it has meaning to me. It's a lot of Sundays filled with singing and prayer and praise and fellowship over 37 years. A lot of them. And the challenge is that I not let the meaning of all that fade in all of my life because I don't want it to be routine or rote, because my baptism has meaning. It brought me to life. It shouldn't become routine or rote. The Hebrew writer is speaking to you, and he's speaking to me. And he's saying from time to time, we need to stop and take stock of where we are spiritually. We just got to stop and just be still and allow God to know who we are and to formulate a plan of where we need to be. All of us are not where we need to be. We need to stop sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
That being said, that there are three fundamental things, three basic things, three real simple things that we need to know concerning that. Number one is, it's easy to skew our vision. It's easy not to see ourselves accurately. It's easy to believe that somehow or we're just worse than we are, or even that we're better than we really are. It's really hard to see ourselves honestly. Why? Because we don't want to know the truth about ourselves. We don't want to know the truth about me. We don't want to become me if it has to do with truth. But everyone will eventually have to swim upstream. You're going to have to do it. I know you can do it. It's been done before. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, and verse number 3, you know, we're all familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. Offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God. Be not transformed by this world, but be renewed by your mind, and you know God's good and perfect will. We all know that, but let's tie in verse number 3 for a change. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You can't think highly of yourselves more than you ought to and be transformed into the mind of God. It's easy to skew our vision.
To see ourselves accurately is always difficult to navigate. It's always been that way. And number two is this. We all begin at the same place. We don't all begin at the same background or the same experience or the same opportunity. We don't all begin at the same ability. But we all begin at the same place in that we are all sinners. There's none righteous. No, not even one. I'm not better than you, and nor are you better than me. We all begin at the same place. So what are you going to do with that realization? What are you going to do with that realization of where you have been with God and where you are right now? What are you going to do with it? For some of us, it'll make us better. And for some of us, it'll make us bitter. And for some of us, it'll make us even worse than we are right now. It will either lead us to open up our hearts to God or to close our eyes and become less of a me that we could be for God. Either we'll open up our hearts or we're going to close our eyes to the fact that God is calling me to become who he wants me to be. Here's the third one. Progress is hard to measure in ourselves. It's easy sometimes to look at others and see where they're making progress in their spiritual life or their academic life, or see where they're making progress in their social life. But sometimes it's hard to do that for ourselves. It's very hard to measure progress in ourselves. When the Hebrew writer said, "I am counting on you to make progress," I'm thinking about better things that can come from you, better things that comes from your inner me. And to measure that, we've got to ask ourselves a couple of me questions, questions that I hope will just help us in our road along this Christian life. Here's a question for you. Am I pleased with the person I'm becoming? Am I pleased with the person I'm becoming? Young or old, it doesn't matter. You're becoming someone beyond who you are right now. Whether for good or whether it's for bad, you're becoming someone beyond what you are right now. But we all are becoming who I am. Everyone in here, we all are becoming me. The fact is that what you do today and the choices you make will impact the person that you're going to be tomorrow. You ever heard of the book entitled Today Matters? You need to add it to your library. It's by John Maxwell. And after you read it, contact me after. See what it does for you. I want you to know that today really does matter. And what you do with the various aspects of your life today will have a profound impact on the person you're going to be tomorrow, a profound effect. Paul said, as we have opportunity, let us do good. And let's do good today. Let's not try to wait to do good tomorrow. We got enough good in us that we can give some out today. Let me just say that God didn't just save you from something. God Almighty saved you for something. And that something is to do a better something with this gift of life that he has granted you even today. Let's do good. And let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, as you become a better me for God. Better me. Here's a familiar question that preachers always ask. If you die today, would you be ready to face God? That's a valid question. Well, here's another valid question. What if you didn't die today? What if you live another 50 years? What if you live another 20 or 30 years, even 10 years? What difference will you have made in this world or in someone's life in 10, 15, or 20 years for the glory of God? If you didn't die today, what difference will you have made in your family or your friends? What difference will you have made with your own selfish life? Will you be the person that God has called you to be, or just a selfish me? What difference will you have made in 10, 20, or 30 years with your walk with God? That's a good one right there. In your walk with God, where will you be in 10, 20, or 30 years? Will you have made a difference? We're all familiar with footprints in the sand. It shows where someone has made a path that was visible for all to see. And everywhere he stepped, there he left a footprint. There was a footprint there. Wouldn't it just be terrible if we walked day by day and step by step and didn't leave any footprints? Wouldn't that just be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible if people couldn't tell we had been there because we had done absolutely nothing good and beneficial in our lives as if we hadn't even been there? Fathers live in houses all of their lives and their kids don't even know that they've been there. There's no footprint. Mothers live their lives in their house all the while and their daughters not trained as if they were not there because there is no footprint. Wouldn't it be terrible if people couldn't tell we had been there because we had done nothing good and beneficial? So I ask you, are you pleased with the person you are becoming? If you were to take a look at your life right now, are you pleased with the road that you are currently on? Here's a question for you. Are you getting better, or are you just getting older? What will your life look like in 5, 10, or 20 years spiritually? Spiritually. What will it look like financially or socially in 5, 10, or 20 years? What's your life going to look like physically? Right now, today, we've got to make a decision to not abuse our bodies. We've got to make a decision not to abuse our finances. We've got to make a decision not to abuse our friends and our family. We've got to make a decision certainly not to abuse our souls. There's a price to be paid for all of that. And if you stay on the same path that you're on right now, and you don't deviate from that in 5, 10, or 20 years, are you going to be closer to God or just somebody that occupies a pew? Remember, everyone will eventually have to swim upstream. And I know that you can do it. And in doing so, you will become a better me. A better me. Here's another question for you. Are you obedient in the small things? Small things. People always say, don't sweat the small things. No, don't sweat the small stuff. Some will say they don't sweat the small things. But I want to tell you that the small things really do matter. And there's a lot of stuff that we fret and worry about that doesn't make a bit of difference one way or the other. There's a lot of stuff we do that with. It doesn't make a hill of beans. But spiritually, the small stuff really does matter. How big is the thought? How big is it? Our destiny begins with sowing a thought. It's the small things that lead us to action, those thoughts. As a matter of fact, the God that I serve is concerned about details. How about Noah? How about Noah? In Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 15 and verse 22, listen to God. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch, and this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You know what verse number 22 says? Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. He did everything God told him to do, down to the most minute detail that God had specified, and Noah not only did it, he did it faithfully. Don't sweat the small stuff, amen? Faithfulness in those little details, what did it do? It revealed the man who he was. It revealed both his context of his heart and the content of his character. The small things did that. I don't know how long you've been married, but has there ever been the big things that cause you problems in your marriage? Don't sweat the small stuff. Small things have gotten people in trouble in their marriages over and over and over again. You better start sweating them. Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. Luke 16:10, Jesus says, he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. We need to take heed to the small things. Because when we don't take heed to the small things, we find ourselves caught up in sin. And that sin begins with just a small thought. And that small thought materializes into reality. And it all happens because we have not paid attention to the small details in our lives. How about that small lie you tell? How about lying? How about stealing? How about honoring your father and your mother? Every sin is acted out in the mind before it's acted out in the flesh. Don't you know that? And every apology and every heartfelt repentance before God is acted out in the mind before it graces your lips. You've got to have it on your heart before it comes out. It's hard to swim upstream. And it's hard to apologize to somebody when you're wrong, but you gotta do it. It all begins by not seeing yourself accurately. And that you're not perfect either. By not being your best or becoming the best spiritual that you can be for the glory of God. You've got to become the best spiritual me that you can be for the glory of God, and not only selfish you. It's not about you. It's not about becoming you and surrounding yourself with everything that involves you. Is becoming the best you that you can be for the glory of God. Of God. Are you really maturing spiritually? Are you? Open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 5. You may know where we're going. The question is, are you really maturing spiritually? Hebrews chapter 5, and we want to start in verse number 11 and read on through 14. Listen to God, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child, he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here are a couple questions from this scripture right here. Do you know that in Christianity, there stands a big picture? And the big picture is looking at us right here from this scripture. And it says that in somehow, in some way, everything relates to your relationship with God. Everything in your life goes right back to your relationship with God. And have you gained enough knowledge of the truth to understand that? Or are you still hanging on those elementary principles, trying to become somebody that you're not? Trying to convince people that you know things that you don't? Do you understand that everything in your life relates back to your relationship with God? And here's the second question from that. Why do you do what you do? Have you exercised your senses to discern good and evil? You know, we live like we live because we made it to the point where we all have to make choices for ourselves in our lives. We live like we live because all of us have made choices, minus mom and dad. We've made choices for me, just for me. And sometimes we've got to think about those choices and how selfish they are as we become the me that God wants us to be. We love to talk about Galatians 5, 22 through 25, about the fruit of the Spirit. But what about verses 19 through 21 above that? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The phrase that should exercise our sense of good and evil is a phrase that says, things like this. Things like this. You know, it's not a sign of spiritual maturity to always want to be pushing the envelope. There are people who always want to push the envelope in Christianity. You don't want to be the one to always say, well, God didn't say that I couldn't do it. He didn't specifically say that I couldn't do that. God didn't say no. I don't see where he says that at. But he says, and things like this. Amen. And mature Christians understand that there are some activities and some places that godly wisdom will keep you from. Mature Christians understand that there are some thoughts and some words that godly wisdom will keep out of your mind and that godly wisdom will keep out of your potty mouth. Amen. There are just some things that mature Christians understand. And one of those things is that they become the best me that they can possibly be to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, and verse number 16. Let me read this in your hearing. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yep, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, that we might know them. And stop pretending that God didn't tell us we couldn't do it because we don't see it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse number 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. We're not shallow thinkers, nor are we shallow believers, which leads to shallow living. We are those who cast our nets into the deep. We are those who, even through difficulty, we swim upstream. denying ourselves and becoming a better me. That's what we do. We swim upstream because what can separate us from the love of God? What can do it? We swim upstream because that's where the love of God is. Get out of your own way. Stop making it about you. Get out of your own way and let's serve God. Amen? Amen. We're not shallow thinkers. We're not shallow believers, and we don't live shallow lives spiritually, do we? Do we? Wilma Rudolph, she was the 20th, get this now, of 22 children. When she was 4 years old, she had scarlet fever. And of course, the doctors told her family that she would never walk again. But by age 12, she was running. At age 13, she was playing basketball, and at the age of 20, she became the first woman in Olympic history to win 3 gold medals at the 1960 Olympic Games. At the end of her career, she was asked how she achieved such great things, and she said simply, "I cheated. I cheated." She said, "When my parents would go into work and I was by myself, I removed my leg brace and would walk around the house. As I got stronger, I began to run around the house and then to sprint. And every day of my life, I expected more out of my legs than the day before." Every day of your life, God expects more out of you than the day before. Every day, he expects you to become the spiritual me that he's looking for. Every day of your life, you ought to be doing something that exercises your discernment between good and evil. So you can run. Every day I expected more of my legs than the day before. So the real question still remains, and I'll ask you again, are you pleased with the person that you are becoming? Are you maturing spiritually? Are you taking care of the small things in your life? It's all a matter of asking just a little more of ourselves every day than the day before. Just a little bit more of the little things. Nothing big, just a little bit more. Let me just close with this last question. Am I strengthened by people who want to go to heaven? That's a tough one right there. Am I strengthened by people who want to go to heaven? For good or for bad, for better or for worse, the people with whom we spend our lives affect our thinking. They affect our judgment and our actions. So do the people you spend your time with, do they make you better? Do they make you better? The Bible describes a Christian life as a walk. So it doesn't make sense. And here's something that it's not profound, and it's pretty practical. I'm going to say it because I need you to get this. It doesn't make sense that if you walk with someone that you're going to end up where they are. Doesn't that make sense? If you're walking together with someone, wherever they end up, that's where you're going to be as well. And if you run with someone, won't you end up where they are as well when they stop? When people walk side by side and then they stop, wherever they stop will put them in the same place that you are. And if you're not supposed to be there, maybe you ran with the wrong crowd. And when you run with the wrong crowd, when they stop running, you find yourself in a place that you never intended to be. So stop walking with them. Stop running with them. There are more Christians that have friends out there in the world than they have friends as Christian brothers and sisters. Who you're walking with? Who you're running with? And what in the Sam Hill are you talking about? Is it God? Are you becoming the me that God wants you to be? Are you even walking with God? Because if you walk with God, when he finishes walking, where he is, amen. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. Paul said, but there are some who have a form of godliness. They go to church, they do all the right things, and they do it when someone's looking, but they deny the power of God. Don't spend your time with those people. Let me tell you something. A person can always find what they want. You can always find it. It's out there for you. It's out there. It's crouching at your door. But Jesus is also out there, and he's knocking at your door, and you can find him too. So what are you looking for? And where are you looking for it at? Where? Where? Today, right today, we all need to take stock of who we are or who we want to be, or eventually who we will be. And that all boils down to becoming me. The best me that I can possibly be spiritually to the glory of God. Here's what John Maxwell said in an excerpt of that book that I talked about earlier. He said, the greatest of all miracles is that we need not be tomorrow what we are today. The greatest of all miracles is that we need not be tomorrow what we are today. And the greatest of all insights is that we cannot be tomorrow what we do not do today. That is why today matters. It matters. It matters. So the question remains, am I ready for what's next? Are you ready for what's next? Only you and God also knows that. You and him alone. No one can hide from an omniscient God. You ought to just say to yourself that today I will allow God to bring out the best in me. By taking a path that leads to becoming me, to a life that has meaning. Not a life that's thrown away or forgotten. A life that has meaning. Today I'm becoming the true spiritual me for the glory of God. Paul said to the church in Galatians chapter 2, verses number 20, I have been crucified with Christ. He's talking about me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in. Christ lives in me, in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He loved me, oh, and he still loves me, and he gave his life for. Woo. Are you willing? Are you willing to give yourself up for him and stop being the me that you were yesterday? And become the me for God today. There are too many people who simply find their religious life all wrapped up in themselves. They've got all the answers, and spiritually, they're going to heaven. But they never look into God's word seriously enough to buy into it and be convinced that their souls need to be saved. I'm telling you today that you need to become who God has called you to be. Stop being me for me and be me for God for a change. We're going to sing a song in a few minutes, and there are those in this auditorium and at the sound of my voice who have not been baptized into Christ. They don't know who the real me is. They don't know that Christ lives in me. But they can have that by hearing his word. In John 6:45 is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, being the me that God has not called you to be. We got to confess Christ, church. Jesus said, if you confess me before men on earth, I will therefore confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. He'll talk about you, and your name will be echoing all throughout heaven. What a glorious thought that is. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. With a repentant heart, we've got to come to God that we might be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, that our sins might be washed away. And we've got to do that today. Ananias told Saul, he said, "Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou?" Acts 22:16. "Arise now and be baptized, washing away your sins." Right now, stop tarrying. Let's do it today. Because if you're not becoming who God has called you to be, then you're simply going to only be me. And that me that you are now is meaningless in the face of a true and living God. Will you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song?
Tenderly Jesus is calling.
Will there be one to respond to the gospel of Christ?
Calling for you and for me.
And he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We are now at a part of our worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we are instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll also be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning at verse 23, and the Bible reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time with bowed heads and humble hearts. Father God, just thanking you for this opportunity to commune with you. Father God, we ask that you bless this bread that represents your son's body, and that you bless this cup that represents your son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone that partake of it do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in our sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also are a part of our service, which is the offering, the giving, in which God instructs us to give just a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you once again. We bow our heads in humble hearts, Father God, thanking you for this collection that was gathered in your name. Father God, we pray for those who gave, Father God, and we pray for those who had a desire to give but not able to at this present time. Father God, we just pray that these funds be used for the upkeep and the outreach of your ministry, Father God, spreading your word. We pray that you'll be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and accepted in our sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.